Good morning. You know, I got to thinking this week, and I just want to say to this congregation, what a wonderful family we have here at Green Valley Baptist Church. You know, I've done some hospital visitations this past week. I've talked with many of you by phone or visited in your home. And I always come away just absolutely overjoyed to be the pastor of this church. I just want you to know how wonderful each and every one of you are, and what a privilege and what a blessing it is to be able to stand before you each and every Sunday as the pastor of Green Valley Baptist Church. It is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So from my wife's heart and my heart to yours, thank you for who you are. Thank you for how God has created you, formed you, and the journey that we are on together. What a tremendous blessing it is to be a part of this family of God. With that said, if you would take your Bibles this morning and be finding 1 Corinthians chapter 4, with me, we're going to look at the first two verses, and if you would rise to your feet this morning as we read God's word here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And if you're there, say amen. I think we can do better than that. If you're there, say amen. Yeah, now we're ready to go. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Father God, help us. Help us as your people, Lord, because one day we're going to be found. And Lord, when we're found, help us to be found exactly as the scripture says here. Help us to be found faithful. May all who come behind us find us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, I want to share with you this morning, brothers and sisters, that there is one thing we all have in common. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or a child, but there is something that we all have in common, something none of us can get away from, and that thing that we all have in common is that we're all in the NFL, not for long. The psalmist put it this way: as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourish, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. That's what we have in common. And that's why I've entitled this message, The Mark You Leave Behind. And so I want to begin with this thought. You know, when I think about all the things and all the different things going on within the families of our church, I've come to this conclusion. We don't stay on earth forever. But after we're gone, our imprint remains. I want you to meditate on that truth for just a moment. Let that sink in. We don't stay on earth forever, but after we're gone, our imprint remains. And I'd like to get you to begin thinking about this. What kind of imprint will you leave after you're gone? What will people remember about you? What kind of legacy will you leave? Will it be one that others could easily follow? You know, this church has some great saints. There are some great saints who've gone home to heaven from this church. And those great saints, they were easy to follow. You say they lived a life that was centered in Christ. They lived a life that was looking forward. They knew there's a place called heaven. Do you know there's a place called heaven this morning? There's a place we know of that's called heaven. It's a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tear. And we know that's going to happen at the end of time. But that's today, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's a place called heaven. And if that don't make you smile, boy, I don't stand a chance. There's a place called heaven this morning. Are you going to be one who's easy to follow, or will you be one that others are going to stumble over? Just where will your legacy take them? Friends, the year was 1891, and Francisca Rojas of Buenos Aires, Argentina, had murdered two of her sons, and in a cold and calculated attempt to deflect the blame so that she could get away with it, she even went so far as to slit her own throat, so that she could blame the attack on a nearby ranch hand by the name of Velasquez. Though this man had proclaimed his innocence, he was arrested anyway, and would have been easily convicted had it not been for an Argentine police official named Juan Vojcicek, who had been experimenting with a new system of criminal identity that relied on fingerprints. You see, up to this point in history, fingerprints had never been used in a criminal trial. But Vojcicek had visited the scene of the crime. He had studied long on the bloody handprint on the doorframe of the home, and it did not match Velasquez's fingerprints. It did, however, match Francisca's own fingerprints. Now, I want us to know something. Well, you already know this. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. But each of us has our own unique pattern of ridges that's slightly different from every other person's. And even identical twins have different fingerprints, so that we know for certain every person who enters this world, every person whom God has created, will leave his or her own mark in this world. And yet, we find, based on our text, there's another sense in which we leave a mark here this morning. And metaphorically speaking, every single one of us is going to leave a spiritual fingerprint behind when we leave this earth. I believe then we'll leave them on the lives of every person we've ever come in contact with. As I said, we don't stay on earth forever. But this I can promise you, when we're gone, our spiritual fingerprints are going to be left behind. If that were not true, we would not be gathered in this church this morning worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, because we all know those 12 disciples have long since gone home to glory, but their spiritual imprint remains. Countless thousands of believers have come and gone in the centuries since, yet their spiritual imprint remains. And I've shared stories, so we won't go back over those stories, but I've shared stories with you from the pulpit of some of the dear saints here in this church who have gone home to glory, who left a spiritual fingerprint upon this pastor's life and upon the life of this dear church. Now, friends, as we gather here this morning, we know this, that God used someone, somewhere, at some point in time to share Jesus Christ with you. And you are here today, or you're listening online today, because someone has left a spiritual fingerprint or fingerprints upon your life. Well, the year was 1849, and John Getty, the Canadian missionary to New Hebrides, recorded in his journal the following: "In the darkness, degradation, pollution, and misery surrounding me because of the cannibals on this island, I look forward in faith to the time when some of these poor islanders will unite in the triumphant song of ransomed souls." John Getty died just before Christmas in 1872, and the islanders installed this plaque in his memory on their church. It reads, "John Getty, when he landed in 1849, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen. John Getty left his spiritual imprint all over the island of New Hebrides, turning a land filled with cannibals into blood-bought saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever stopped to think, what kind of a spiritual fingerprint are you going to leave behind? Now, if you're young and you're here today, you think you got a long time. But it goes just like that, doesn't it? Yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never come, and all we got's today. What kind of an imprint are you going to leave behind? Our text points out that the world we inhabit would be a better place if our spiritual fingerprint is that of a faithful life lived. You see, that's the challenge of our text, because God says something very important here. He says, moreover, it is required in stewards. Now, who's a steward? It's someone who has repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And friend, you're a steward of the gospel. And moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And you and I know all too well in this world in which we're living today that it is hard to find faithfulness. As a matter of fact, finding faithfulness is almost unheard of in the world in which we're living. Is it any wonder then that the world in which we today, in which we're living today, sees no difference, no relevance to needing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? But I want to challenge you this morning something that D.L. Moody said. He said, the world is yet to see what God will do for, through, and in, and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. And this is the great challenge that we all face. The great challenge we all face is to be found faithful. To be found faithful. And make no mistake, God says here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found. Finish it for me, church. What then can we do to leave our spiritual fingerprints behind us? Well, there's four things I believe that the Word of God teaches us that should be true of all who are in Christ Jesus. And the first is this: we ought to leave behind the fingerprint of the Word. God gave Joshua the following command. It's a command that each and every one of us need to take seriously. The command is this: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, the following: study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our children, they're watching us all the time. Us older Christians need to always bear in mind that the younger members of our church family, they've got their eyes on us. You know, we spend a lot of time doing a lot of things in life, don't we? May we always pray that our children in the home see us spending as much time in God's Word as they do with all the other activities that we do. What's the one thing out of all the other activities in God's Word that's going to last? The thing that's a lasting memory is the time that the parents and grandparents spent in God's Word. Friends, I can honestly say to you that I cannot ever remember a time in my life, in my family life, when I did not witness my mama and my daddy poring over the Scriptures. See, it didn't matter when I got out of bed, there would be daddy sitting at the kitchen table reading away in the Word of God. And then there'd be Mama sitting in her favorite chair just reading away. And their fingerprint created that same desire in me, because every morning from the time I've been 18 years old, the very first thing I do when my feet hit the floor out of bed is go to my chair and begin to read the Word of God. I love the Bible. And I'm just so thankful for the Word of God. Now, you know, I'm getting on up there. I think I've almost caught up to Paul Music. I'm getting there. But, you know, from the time I've been 18 to, well, I'm on up there. Let's leave it at that. That's a lot of years of reading the Bible all the way through, over and over and over again. And it's to God's glory, friends, not to my credit. I've got a Savior up in heaven, and oh, how He loves me. We sang about that earlier, but you got a Savior up in heaven too, and you know what? He loves you unconditionally. He knows what you're going through right now, and He's always ready to help us. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. Amen. Oh, God is so good. Ruth Graham, the wife of evangelist Billy Graham, once explained why she became a lifelong student of God's Word. She said, growing up in China, she saw her missionary parents studying the Bible every single day, and their example left an indelible imprint in her mind, and she followed her parents' example. Well, you know something? People are people the world around, and that hadn't changed a bit. It don't matter how old you are as a parent, children still follow your example. May we give them an example of reading God's Word. Well, there's a second fingerprint that we're to leave behind, and that's a fingerprint of honesty. Someone once said, integrity is who you are when nobody's watching. And what a wonderful definition of honesty. Because we all know this, there's somebody always watching. God's always watching. Paul wrote these words of encouragement to the Romans, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And Peter wrote, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Why is it so important to live an honest life? Because the people who are closest to us, especially our children, are quick to pick up on our inconsistencies. And Alan C. Emery was a successful Christian businessman who served on the board of many Christian organizations. And he wrote this about his father in a book he entitled, A Turtle on a Fence Post. And I quote, today I find myself still asking myself, what would Daddy do? When confronted with those decisions in business and in life that are so often not black and white, but gray. I am indebted to the memory-making efforts that my father made to imprint indelibly upon my mind the meaning of integrity. Once, my dad lost a pair of fine German binoculars. He collected insurance only to find the binoculars a year later. Immediately, he sent a check to the insurance company, and he received a letter back stating that this seldom occurred, and they were highly encouraged. It was a small thing, but children never forget the examples lived before them. As we all think about our own lives, we all have to answer the question begging to be asked. Will those closest to us remember us for our honesty? Will they have similar stories to tell about us? God already knows the answer, but let's for a minute suppose God were here, and He is, because where two or three are gathered in His name, you know He's in their midst. If the Holy Spirit of God was to come to you this morning, sit right down across from you, look you right in the eye, and ask the question, are you honest? Are you honest? Are you honest with yourself? Are you honest with others? How many of you would agree? Sometimes it's hard to be honest with ourselves. Are you honest? Are you honest, really? Are you being honest with me, your Savior, about what's going on with you right now? Are you pouring your heart out as the psalmist did? Whether you're up, whether you're down, whether you're somewhere in the middle, whether you're facing challenges you never thought you'd have to face. There's always the question, isn't it? Are we being honest with God? Are we asking God for the help that only He can give? Are we asking our great burden bearer to help us, lift us up in the midst of our burdens, to encourage us? You know, friend, there's something about God. You got to be honest with God, because He already knows the answer. So what are we hiding from? Are we honest? Well, God's Word teaches there's a third spiritual fingerprint we should leave behind, and it's the fingerprint of prayer. God's Word commands us that we ought to pray ceaselessly. That's another one of my childhood memories. All those spiritual fingerprints of the saints of my family. I can still remember great-grandma Vanderbilt sitting in her rocker in her Swedish accent just to pray in the way, oh, Jesus, how we need Thee today. Now, what you may not know about your pastor, my mama was a Swede, my dad was Italian, and you know what that makes me? A Swedish meatball. But I can remember Grandma just to pray in a way. And then Daddy Hap, as everybody knew him, leading the family in prayer every time we got together. And then my dad. You know, my dad's just always been a prayer warrior. He takes it all to the Lord in prayer. Will those who know you best, those who are closest to you, be able to say, that one there, there's a prayer warrior? And I imagine in this church there's a lot of prayer warriors. But I want to tell you about one who stands out this morning. That's Paul Musing. You know, one of the great things I love about Paul is he's always praying. Now, I know everybody prays. We all pray. But, you know, there's special characteristics that jump out from each one of you. You've made such an imprint in my life. But, Paul, I want to say I'm thankful for all the prayers you've prayed for this old pastor, for this church. And I want to thank the rest of you for all the prayers that you have prayed. Isn't it wonderful to know we got a God up in heaven who hears our prayers, who answers our prayers? Boy, it's great to know that. I got a text message yesterday from Debbie. This is what she said. Tommy showed marked improvement. Well, we've been praying as a family since the accident happened on Sunday night. Keep the church praying. And I said, those fires will still be burning hot, because there's one thing about Green Valley Baptist Church, and we got a praying church. We're a church that when we weep with those who weep, we rejoice with those who rejoice, but man, there's a love in this place that you can't find anywhere else. And I'm just so grateful for it. But think about this. If you were to leave this world today, if God was to call you home? Would people say about you, as we can say about George Tedder, there was a prayer warrior there? And I'm certain we could say it about many others. Now I think about Harold Mitchell and some of the other saints that have gone home to glory. But I'm so thankful that this church is a praying church. Oh, what a joy it is. Well, the last fingerprint is this. It's the fingerprint of an enduring testimony. All Christians, if we are to be found faithful, must leave behind the imprint of an enduring testimony. The Baptist Press years ago reported the story of a New Mexico dentist named Dr. Steve White, and I'd just love to share this story with you. When White was a 21-year-old college basketball player, his ailing mother called him to her bedside. "I just want you to know, Stephen," she said, "that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Dr. White said he walked out of his mother's room and wondered what on earth she was talking about. As a family, we never talked about that kind of stuff. His mother died shortly afterward, and Dr. White went on to become a successful dentist. He also became one who believed in the material world and thought Christians were crazy to believe in God. 24 years went by, and while he was looking at the picture of his mother, her words suddenly came back to him. In that instance, he realized his mother had found the truth before she died. Eternal life had found her in the person of God's Holy Spirit. Those words that she had spoken to her son 24 years earlier were suddenly alive in his heart and mind, and under deep conviction, he ran out the door, jumped in the truck, and took off. He turned on the radio, and you know how God is. God had a preacher on there, and that preacher was preaching about salvation and how salvation can be found in Jesus Christ. That preacher explained the gospel. That preacher led in a prayer, and Stephen White pulled the truck to the side of the road and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Listen to me. With her almost dying breath, a mother, herself a brand new Christian, left the legacy of an enduring testimony that bore fruit more than two decades later. Now, you've all heard me say this many times before from this pulpit. God's word never goes out void. It also should serve, this story should serve to remind us that we cannot underestimate the power of God as we share Jesus Christ. We may not see that fruit today. It may not come to fruition until years later. But God's word never goes out what, church? You can be certain the gospel will do its work, because it's the power of God that's behind it, not the power of man. If it was the power of man, it would go absolutely nowhere. But God is the power behind the gospel. God is the power of the Bible. Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Friend, when you leave this earth, will you leave behind the spiritual fingerprint of an enduring testimony? You know, a blind man was once seen walking down the street sidewalk at night, shining his flashlight. Somebody stopped him and said, "Why are you blind shining your flashlight?" His reply was this: "Because I don't want others to stumble because of me." Do you have a habit or a tendency in your life that might cause someone to stumble over you? Or is the influence of your life the kind that Jesus Christ can use to change the lives of others? One thing's for certain, we're not going to be here forever. As I said at the beginning, we're all in the NFL, not for long. Whether we're here You know, the Bible says life is as a vapor. It's like the grass that springs up and is soon cut down. That's how brief life here on this earth is. But there's a better home awaiting. We're on a journey. We're just a passing through. Amen. Our God is a great God. He's an awesome God. He loves you. He loves me. And He's got us all in the palm of His hand. And all He asks of us is found right here. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. I want to close with this. The songwriter wrote, after all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them on the road we all must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. The imprint of our Christian life, it'll remain for eternity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all who come behind us find us faithful? Father God, we thank You for Your message to us today, for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, the Christian life really isn't all that complicated. It just requires us to take up our cross and follow You. It requires us to be faithful. And You've set the example. You went all the way to the cross for each and every one of us. Lord, as You gave all, may each and every one of us, in the brief time that we're here on earth, be willing to give all that we are to all who need it at whatever moment and in whatever time. May we be like Christ, and may we be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. God has spoken to your heart today, and you realize you're not yet saved. As Marty comes to lead us in song this morning, would you come? And if you're a child of God, and you've been struggling in your walk, you're going through some things you never thought you'd have to go through, I want you to know that you can come today and you can leave it here with a burden bearer and you can walk out free. You see, we have a Holy Spirit who goes with us. We have a Holy Spirit who loves us, who guides us, who wants to carry the burden for us. Let's not be like stubborn children and try to do it on our own because we're not strong enough. We're not tough enough. Listen, sometimes we just got to come and lay our burden down. Sometimes we just got to be honest with God. Amen. And if you're here this morning and you've not joined Green Valley Baptist Church, I just want you to know that this is the greatest family on all of earth. There's no church like ours, is there? Oh, look around this morning, and before you leave, you tell somebody, I'm so glad you were here this morning. Thank you for being my brother, my sister. Thank you for making this family so wonderful. Oh, it's so good to be a part of the family of God this morning, isn't it? Well, God has spoken. You come. It's that time of decision. Brother Marty, would you stand as Brother Marty leads us in song?